Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, not live on Real Liberty Media this week because, well, I'm going to tell you why. We're going to catch up on all of that stuff, but usually you can catch me live on Real Liberty Media Wednesdays and Saturday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can also join the conversation at reallibertymedia.com or our IRC channel. If you just go to reallibertymedia.com, there's a chat extension there. You can, chat button you can click on and join us over there. You can ask questions while the show is live or make suggestions or make fun or pretty much do whatever you want to do over there. It's a pretty fun time. A lot of great people in that chat room. A lot of great advice you'll get there. Great links, you know, all kinds of information being passed in that chat room. People who are searching for the truth, probably just like you are, or searching for tips, you know. I mean, that's one of the things I do is I just pass on the experiences that I have so maybe you can benefit. And today the show is going to be loaded with that kind of information. So let's get started, shall we? I'm going to bring up my show notes. I know there was a bunch of stuff I wanted to talk about right out of the gate. Pebbles was making a little noise. I don't know if you heard it in the background there, but she's with me, and Bear and Quigley and Dexter, all four of them are here in the room with me. So it might get a little noisy. That's okay. You guys don't mind having my pets join the show, I don't think. Okay, so this weekend I actually didn't get to go live on my regular time because we were very busy. We have decided as a family that, you know, we need to have a garden, a bigger garden, a garden that's going to sustain us when and if this inflation hits like everybody says it's going to, or food shortages come our way like everybody says it's going to. I mean, I think we all know that there's some trouble coming, and it's better to be prepared. So, you know, we've been thinking about this for a while, at least a few months. I think since we ended last year, we were kind of thinking about expanding the garden. But with the newer developments, I think one person said it best. President Biden went from Build Back Better to no food, no fuel, and on the brink of World War III in less than a year. Good job, Joe. Let's go, Brandon. Awesome job. Oh, that was Tim Cast who said that. And he actually said people had said that. He didn't take full credit for it, but that's where I heard it on Tim Cast. If you haven't seen that guy, get over there to YouTube, Rumble, BitChute. He posts his show on a lot of places, and you can catch his show there. Great guy, great information, a little bit biased, but really not much. Pretty fair and balanced, talks about both sides of, or multiple sides of issues, and he has pretty dang good takes on it. I really enjoy listening to him. So what we were doing was expanding the garden, which I know it sounds like, oh, so what, you know? Well, here's what. We had to pull all the T-posts. Well, and I'm not complaining. Trust me. I'm just going to explain to you what went into this little project. I should start out by saying we got a lot of food out of our garden last year, and I wouldn't say it was a tremendously successful garden, but we got a lot of food out of it. We have expanded the garden to 5 times its previous size because we're taking this year a lot more seriously than we did any time in our past. A lot of times we just grew food for fun, and we're still kind of considering it fun. In fact, we were all excited when the project was finished about how much we actually got done. But we had to pull all the T-posts from the old garden because we were expanding the fences. Of course, I have 8-foot fences around my garden to keep the deer out. So we had to pull all the T-posts. They're 10-foot T-posts, 2 feet in the ground, 8 feet above. And then, of course, we had to take all the fencing off the T-post first, and there was a lower fencing, the harder stuff, cattle panels, and then upper fencing, which is just chicken wire. So it's like, I don't know, it's 5 or 6 feet of cattle panels and then 2 or 3 feet of chicken wire, however that works out. But, so we had to take all the, you know, all the fencing down, take all the clips off, roll all the fencing up, put it aside, pull the T-post, which if you ever pulled a T-post, you know that's not easy. We pulled all the T-posts, got them out of the way. Then we started to till the new area along with the old area, you know, turn it over real good. And we were borrowing the neighbor's tiller, which, of course, broke. So we couldn't fix it, so we decided to go rent one. It's like $119 for a day. We picked it up Saturday night and are not open on Sunday, so we got it all day Sunday and took it back Monday morning. So the big tiller that we rented was well worth the money. Man, that thing tore up some clay dirt, really turned it over good. And we took all the rest of our neighbor's horse manure, tilled that in there. That nasty clay soil is getting broken up nicely, and we're looking forward to putting some stuff in the ground, not too soon, because there's still a possibility of frost here in Oregon where I live. I know a lot of the country still has ice and snow, so just kind of getting things out there for you to prepare, for what's ahead. And I'll tell you, I don't know if there's anything more rewarding. I'm sure there are some things more rewarding than actually preparing or securing your food future. But for us, it really was satisfying. It really was just, you know, kind of made you feel good to get it all done. So we got the tilling done. Then we had to put up all the new T-posts. Well, first we had to go get some more T-posts because we didn't have enough T-posts or cattle panels to surround the garden. So had to make a trip to town with a trailer, picked up that stuff, came back, put the T-posts up, put the fencing up, and called it a weekend. And we worked, I'd say at least 12 hours a day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to get that project all done in one weekend. And actually, you know, we were really looking forward to some rain on Monday, and we did get a little bit of rain, so that worked out pretty well. Now, I want to talk about a few things that's going to help you. Well, one thing, I kind of wanted to go over this fertilizer shortage, because that's going to lead me into some things you can do for your soil to really kind of help your garden out a lot. So because Russia provides a kind of a huge proportion of fertilizer for the world, there's going to be a shortage because they're not producing it. And of course, they're involved in this war and they're not going to sell it to us. That's for sure, I think. Anyway, they're saying already that there's a tremendous shortage of fertilizer. So, like in your home garden, it's probably not that critical, especially if you have prepared your soil. Like if you use organic matter and put it in your garden area to let it, you know, mulch in there and decay in there and let all those nutrients from the decaying organic matter kind of go into the soil, you're going to be in pretty good shape. If you're like us, we live on a hill with a slight slope, mostly clay soil, which means there's not tremendous nutrient or airflow or perforation or whatever you want to call it in the soil. So we have to constantly treat our soil, not with fertilizer, but with organic material to keep it broken up and keep it healthy and keep the nutrients in the soil. But there's some things you can do that, you know, means you don't have to do a lot of organic preparation of your soil. So what I'm getting at is if right now today you're deciding that you're going to put some food in the ground for your food future this year and you want to have some success, there's some foods that you can put in the ground, even hard clay soil, just break it up a bit, and you're going to have to tend to it quite a bit, but I mean, that's kind of your choice right now, is, you know, getting food in the ground. And once you kind of start this process, if you keep it going, it gets easier every year, your soil gets better every year, and you're just able to work it better every year. You're not struggling so much. So let's just say you have a 10-foot by 10-foot garden area, and it's nasty hard clay like what we have. Well, you're going to have to break that up. You're going to have to either do it by shovel, do it by rototiller, and I'm going to tell you ahead of time, if you do it by a rototiller that's a walk behind, man, be prepared, because that soil is very hard to break up. And if you're not ready, that walk behind rototiller is going to take you for a ride, and it's going to be very bumpy and very, it's going to give you a beating. That's the bottom line. It's going to give you a beating. But 100 square feet, it'll take you an hour or two to break it up, make it kind of nice, and then you can get started. What I recommend to get started is root vegetables, or vegetables that grow mostly underground. Of course, their green part grows above ground, but I'm talking about the harvestable fruit. Vegetable will be in the ground, like a carrot, like radishes, icicle radishes, parsnips, beets, turnips, potatoes, onions, all of those things, once you plant them, as they grow, they're developing the vegetable part, the edible part, under the ground, which means it's kind of expanding that ground, or if it's a parsnip or a radish or icicle radish or carrot, it's driving its root, taproot, straight down, so it can, you know, make some room to grow whatever it's going to put out for you. That's a really good way to break up the soil. And then if you're really good at kind of figuring this out, like radishes don't take very long at all to grow. You've heard me talk about them before. It's like 6 weeks and you can start eating radishes right out of the ground, right out of the garden. If you play your cards right, you get those radishes going early, get the carrots going early, get parsnips going early, icicle radishes, get a bunch of those things going early, and you can plant them pretty close together. It's just that as they get bigger, you're going to have to harvest some of them when they're very small to give the rest of them room to grow. The plan here is that you let those things kind of break up the soil for you. I mean, you've done the initial part by tilling it or turning it by shovel or breaking it up with a hoe or a pickaxe if you have to. And you get enough root vegetables going that it actually starts working the soil for you. And you start getting some moisture in the ground, you know, because you're going to be watering these root vegetables and taking care of them and taking the weeds out. And a lot of people will take the weeds completely out of the garden. We generally don't. We take the weeds out, drop them right there in the garden so they decay and become organic feed for the plants. But the problem is if that weed has gone to root, and even sometimes if it doesn't, sometimes it's not dead enough and it'll just, you know, take hold of where you drop it and become a healthy weed again. Okay, so after you get those root vegetables in the ground And you can start planting other things. Like as you're harvesting the, let's say, radishes. Like what I like to do is put a row of carrots and radishes mixed up so that, you know, you have, like you could have icicle radish, a red globe radish, and a carrot all, you know, touching each other, basically. And as they mature, you just pull them and eat them, and you leave some space in between, and then you can go back and plant something else. Plant something like a collard green or a winter squash, I think, is a great choice to put in the rows that you have. But actually, pretty much anything you can put in those rows as you're harvesting, put new seeds in, and they will germinate, and they will sprout, and they'll already have some soil broken up for them to take root and be able to grow. So kind of figure out what it is that you want to grow for the year. I like to have like some fresh greens throughout the growing season, and then I like to have like winter squash and pumpkins for winter time. Because those things last a long time, even after you harvest them. I mean, you can leave them on the ground for a long time. And then after you harvest them, if you put them in like a root cellar, they'll last another couple months before they start turning on you. And I think in some cases, maybe even longer than a couple months. That's why, you know, a lot of people survive on their winter crops or throughout the, you know, the winter when there isn't a lot of fresh food. So we're going to do that in a couple rows, even though this soil is outstanding. I mean, it's broken up really well with all the horse manure we put on it this year. It is really kind of rich. So I think there's not going to be any problem growing anything this year, but we are going to do a few things that that help your plants grow together. So one is like that, putting the root vegetables in the newer tilled area. So we make sure we have good soil there. We get a quick test of how things are going to grow. Because like I say, put radishes in, watch them, you know, take care of them, water them, and they'll be done in a few weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, you can be eating radishes. And then you can, you know, put your next crop in there. The one thing I always like to tell people, every year I tell people about the Three Sisters Garden, because it's an awesome way to have some success with a little bit of effort, not a whole lot. One is you're going to, you know, make a mound or a row. We're doing a couple rows this year, and we're going to plant corn. And we're going to let that corn sprout and grow until it's a few inches, maybe 6 inches high. So maybe 3 to 4 weeks after we plant the corn, maybe longer, but let's say 4 to 6 weeks after we plant the corn, we're going to put pole beans around the corn stalks, pole bean seeds in the dirt around the corn stalks. Then as the pole bean sprouts and grows, the corn's going to continue to grow. The pole beans will actually attach to the corn and use it as the stabilizer for its vines. And as the corn grows, the pole beans grow with it, and then you can, you'll be harvesting, you know, your corn and your pole beans throughout the growing season. Well, corn, you got to wait till it's all done. But and then actually, as the about 2 weeks after you put the pole beans in, you put a squash in. It literally could be any kind of squash. It could be summer squash, zucchini squash. It could be a winter squash like acorn or spaghetti squash. The point of the squash is that it has these big, broad leaves that will keep the moisture in the soil. Now, we always use a soaker hose under the plants, basically, sometimes even in the dirt, to water our plants. So, you know, in the heat of the summer, you know, you don't want to be spraying water on your garden, although if that's what you have, that's what you have. Go ahead and do it. But we like to kind of conserve as much water as possible. We're on a well, and, you know, we're up here on a hill, and, you know, we like to have water year-round. So we're going to conserve as much as possible, and it's just good for the environment too. You know, not I'm an environmentalist, but not a crazy, insane environmentalist like so many people out there who call themselves environmentalists, and they're not. So the squash leaves will shade the dirt, you know, that's underneath them. And that's the dirt that's that your corn roots are going to be in, your bean roots are going to be in, and your squash roots are going to be in. So when you water, you're going to maximize the benefit of watering. Now we're going to do maybe three or four rows like that. And by the way, this garden is, let's just say 90 feet by 90 feet. I might have said something different earlier. It's like 86 by 85 feet. It's pretty dang big. But we'll get a few rows of that going. And yeah, we could just grow corn, and we could just grow beans, and we could just grow squash. But this kind of symbiotic relationship between these three plants, it's called the Three Sisters. It comes from many different Native American tribes would grow these three plants together. And apparently, also nutritionally, it's a pretty balanced diet. So not only do the plants work together well in growing, and the beans actually fix nitrogen in the soil, which helps the corn and the squash grow, but so the three plants work well together. Not only that, but the three plants provide a lot of nutritional value and fill in the gaps that one or the other plants might not have. So that is an old traditional garden, and really not that difficult to do. I mean, just imagine, that garden's been around for hundreds of years at the very least, probably thousands of years, but I didn't look into it that far to be able to tell you that. But, hang on. But back when the Native Americans were doing it, and probably still are, I would imagine, they didn't have all the technology we have now, supposedly. You know, they didn't know everything about, you know, nutrition and growing. That's kind of stupid. They probably did. They naturally knew what those plants needed better than probably we do today. But my point is, they had tools that were different. They didn't have access to all the stuff that we have. Just go out and buy the seeds and buy the, you know, whatever, organic fertilizer, whatever for your plants. It's been around a long time. They've been doing it a long time. So it should be, a garden that you could master pretty rapidly if you just work on it a little bit. You know, and the other thing is, I'm telling you, it was so satisfying to have everybody working on this project together. And everybody, when we got all done, said we none of us could believe we got everything done in one weekend. Now, I did pay the price for that because I didn't go to work today. Today is Monday, by the way, recording this on Monday. But because I was too sore, and I know it's going to sound really sissy. I'm a dentist. And my arms were so flipping sore, I could barely hold a coffee cup. So, you know, I took the day off to recover, you know, be kind to my patients. I know the ones that were scheduled today, they're probably not too excited about me not being there. But in the long run, they're going to get better treatment if I can actually, you know, hold a dental drill all day and provide a good service to them. So. Hopefully that's going to work out fine. But anyway, yeah, it was a busy weekend. Got a lot done, and we're ready to move on. I mean, ready to go forward with this whole garden thing. And kind of ahead of the game this year, too. Last year, we were kind of late getting into it. And, I mean, we kind of lollygagged last year. Like, you know, we had some stuff ready to go, and then we didn't have the deer fence up all the way around the garden, and, you know, deer would get in and eat stuff, and then we'd be pissed because we lost some of our crop to the deer. And, you know, the only one to be pissed off at was ourselves for not actually getting it done. So this was kind of cool that we just went out and got it done in one weekend. And now basically it's just laying the water hose, making the rows, putting the seeds in when the time comes. And we're going to be ready to do that. Let me have just check on my notes here and see how we're doing. Let me just look at a couple of these links because in case I miss some of these vegetables. Oh yeah, here's some more vegetables that are really good for the soil, and I'll kind of cover why, but you'll be able to figure it out pretty quickly. So broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, Napa and Savoy or red and green cabbage, cauliflower, kale, bean, pea, potato, and daikon radish. By the way, yeah, daikon radishes, they'll grow in a clay soil too. I'll tell you something funny. The first time I grew some daikon radish, I was kind of excited to see what it tastes like. But the problem was that they grew so long, I couldn't pull them out of the garden because back then it was really crappy clay soil. And they really rooted in there. And I'm not kidding. Like, you would literally have to dig a daikon radish out pretty much all the way to the bottom. Because if you couldn't pull it out by its leaves, I can tell you that. And if you unburied the top half of it and tried to get it out, you would just break the top half off and then you'd go in to get the bottom part. I'm not kidding. It was the craziest thing. Like, I was really excited that they were going to break up so much soil because they can grow pretty dang long. And I was excited that they were going to break up the soil for me and give me some room to grow some other stuff, you know, by loosening up the soil and, you know, sending that taproot down there quite a ways. And then come to find out, I couldn't even pull them out. So I was basically digging up the whole row of daikon radishes. And in my opinion, they didn't taste that good. I mean, maybe I didn't know what I was doing. I can guarantee you, I don't know what I was doing with daikon radish, but beware, if you plant daikon radishes, either pull them when they're young, or especially if it's in real clay soil, either pull them when they're young or, get ready to, dig them out. All the way to the, actually, it's not a bad idea to break the top half off and leave the bottom half in because it's just going to decay and provide you nutrients for your next crop. So either way is kind of a good deal. But if you want to harvest everything that you plant, and then maybe we can all work together on how to eat daikon radish. I kind of wonder if it's, I can't remember what it tastes like, but I can't really remember. I can't remember if it was hot or if it just tasted kind of horrible. I know one thing, I probably shouldn't. Now I got to tell you because I almost said I probably shouldn't tell you. So I'm going to tell you this. Okay, so I love turnips. Like, I really love turnips. Like, the taste of turnip fresh out of the garden, I love that. I've never had them cooked. I guess you can cook them. But, they give me like the worst gas ever. Like no kidding. Nobody should be even near me after I eat turnips. But I sure love them. But man, they don't love me so much. So, you know, some of these things, some of the foods that you're going to grow, you know, in desperate times, you're going to kind of have to get used to. Like, you're going to have to maybe introduce yourself to some of this stuff. Because, I mean, how many of us actually eat fresh fruits and vegetables all the time? Especially so fresh. I mean, they're fresh out of your garden. And, you know, no pesticides, no herbicides, no, you probably have bugs in them. If you're lucky, you have bugs in them, because that means you have a nice, healthy, a nice, healthy environment for them. But, you know, and that's the thing. That is another thing, too, about growing your own garden and having your own vegetables. Yeah, you're going to have bugs. I mean, unless you use the poisons that keep the bugs out, you're going to have bugs. There's some other organic treatments you can try and stuff to keep, you know, the bug numbers down, but you're going to have bugs. You know, get used to it. It's not a big deal. So you have a caterpillar on your cabbage leaf. Take it off, you know, and eat the cabbage. It's delicious, and it's good for you. Oh, anyway, so back to that list of vegetables I was saying. I mean, if you imagine, most of those vegetables have really gigantic leaves and really good root systems. So they're really good for your garden, especially if it's really rough, you know, if it's hard clay and stuff. If you can get them growing and then harvest and leave the organic material in the garden, till it in to keep that or make that soil a little more healthy, you're going to benefit from growing those plants. I mean, maybe you don't like some of that food. Still, like growing it, you can give it away. You could barter it with people. You could can some of it in a way that may be more tasty. Like I like cauliflower. It's like, okay, there's times when I really like it, like fresh and crunchy. I don't really like it cooked, so it's mushy. So it's just a thing. I'd rather have it fresh. But I had a patient in the other day, and they were talking about they just finished canning this spicy green bean, and they did cauliflower and carrots or something too. And I was like, oh yeah, that would be really good because it's like a treat. It's kind of like a pickled treat. You open it up and you can eat that. And, you know, it's another way to eat something that you maybe wouldn't, you know, maybe it's not your favorite. Like for me, it's not my favorite. So those things would be really good in your garden. You know, big, gigantic leaves, nice root system, like big heads of vegetables, cabbage, which keeps a long time, cauliflower, which keeps a long time, broccoli keeps a long time. You know, so like the broccoli, you can harvest a little bit at a time. You don't have to harvest the whole head of broccoli. You can take off little, you know, clubs, I guess I would call them, off of each head. Just go down the row and pick off, you know, a bunch of cloves, like especially the ones that look like they're getting ready to seed. You want to get them before they seed. And, you know, you could have fresh broccoli for like weeks on end because it'll just keep producing, which is awesome. Anyway, and then, you know, those leaves provide shade for the soil, keeps the water in. I mean, the benefits are just, I know it probably sounds like I'm repeating myself, and I am, but, you know, you get those big old leaves covering the soil, your water stays in the ground longer, it's not getting burned off by the sun. The big giant leaves create a nice organic material to till back into your soil. So it's just an ongoing process of kind of keeping your soil healthy. Okay, I talked about how you do that Three Sisters Garden. I wanted to talk about fossil fuels for a minute because I think this is so funny. I mean, it's not funny now because we're, you know, there's a gas shortage and it's going to be worse. Things are going to get worse, not better. I mean, in my opinion, even if they don't, I don't even care anymore. I kind of care for a lot of people around me who are not prepared or haven't really thought about their future and haven't really, you know, kind of taught themselves how to make food, like how to create food and be ready for it. So when food isn't available, we'll still have some fresh stuff here. But what kind of struck me crazy is, you know, there's this big movement now. They call natural gas a fossil fuel, and it's being banned in Oregon and Washington as far as being used in new construction for homes. They're not allowing builders to put natural gas furnaces, natural gas dryers, natural gas ovens or stovetops in these new homes because they call it a fossil fuel. But here's the deal. I talked about this this dump, the garbage dump, you know, I know people have another sanitary landfill, they call them now. So the sanitary landfill, the local one, it's been generating natural gas power for decades. So I don't know what fossils actually have created that fuel, but it's fossils from the last 50 years, not the last 50 million years or 500 million years. So So for us to call it a fossil fuel when it's so clean, you know, it's just another way, that the government, I believe, is trying to reduce the population. I mean, is there a better time than now? Honestly, is there a better time than now to take out a huge chunk of the population? They already know that most people, you know, most people are willing to stand in line to be killed by the federal government. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, like creating people so stupid that they will vote for their own demise. And what I mean by that is, take just the environmental argument, for example. So people have been brainwashed for decades in the public school system to actually believe every single thing that's been said about how man is destroying the environment, right? So first you get people on the bandwagon, like, okay, we want more restrictions to pollution. And you get these little armies of, you know, children to believe that their parents are destroying the world and ruining the environment. And so then those children grow up to be activists, and they start talking about how we can't mine coal anymore, and we can't pump crude oil because it's a fossil fuel and it's so dirty. We need to go to solar power and wind turbines. And then you get to this point where we are now, where the federal government is saying, hey, guess what? You need to prepare for brownouts because we're shutting down all of the fossil fuel-powered power plants in the nation a little bit at a time, and we're no longer going to have coal power plants. I think they've taken, I forget how many offline, at least 30 that I know of. But yeah, we're going to take coal-fired power plants offline. We're not going to be mining coal anymore. We're not going to be producing power from coal anymore. We're strictly going to go to solar and wind, and, you know, we'll try and figure something else out. Well, basically what they're saying is, we're going to kill you a little bit at a time. Prepare for brownouts. Prepare for blackouts. Prepare for having us turn off the power to certain areas when the demand is highest. Now, let me tell you when the demand is highest, just so you understand exactly what they are saying. The demand is highest when it's freezing cold outside. The demand is highest when it's 112 degrees outside. So what they're saying is, you know, when you need to warm up, well, we're going to be cutting your power. And you can't use any, you don't burn any wood because that pollutes. Don't use your oil furnace, your coal furnace, your natural gas furnace. We don't want you warming up. Basically, what they're saying is, we're going to kill a certain number of people every year to save the environment. And you know what's even crazier is, the argument they'll often use is, there's not going to be an environment for your children. They don't care about your children. They've been trying to kill your children for decades now, and they continue to do it at the rate of 640,000 abortions a year. They don't care about your kids. They want the environment saved for themselves, not you. But they've got you convinced to jump on that bandwagon, you know, to get out there and, you know, riot or protest or demonstrate or march to show how much you care about the environment, because you want something left for your children to enjoy. And I'm telling you, the people who are pushing this agenda, they don't give one rat's ass about your kids. Not one. It's lip service. It's their own lip service to you to make you believe that that you're doing something good for your children. It's not for your children. It's for them to live out their lives and their children to have this environment, this utopia that they think is going to be so wonderful. I can tell you this. When they do get rid of like 80% of the population on the world, if they succeed at doing that, which I don't know why they wouldn't succeed at doing that. I mean, they got a pretty damn good jump on that with COVID, just like knowing that people are so willing to jump in line, to take the vaccine, you know, to get a shot, to wear a mask. Man, I lost my train of thought because I wanted to tell you something. You know, as a dentist, I've been thinking about how horrible this whole idea is. You know how well your body is put together? Like how all of these pieces work together? You breathe in air, it goes in your lungs, there's an exchange of oxygen to red blood cells. The red blood cells carry the oxygen to your muscles so your muscles can work. Your muscles create, you know, carbon dioxide, gas that needs to be carried off. Your blood cells pick it up, carry it back to your lungs. It gets exchanged with fresh air and out it goes. All of that stuff happens because your mouth and nose are supposed to work in a certain environment that's held at a certain pH, that's held at a certain temperature, that has a certain humidity that it likes to work in. And what do we do for 2 years and still are doing to some people in certain situations is tell them to wear this mask that recirculates this air, that recirculates the bacteria, that recirculates all the poisons, gases that your body's trying to get rid of through your lungs, through your kidneys, through your, you know, liver, through your entire system, your skin, you know, and here we're changing the whole environment right at the start, right at your nose and mouth, where everything starts, it goes in there. And we've messed it up. I think we're going to see long-term ramifications from this. No doubt we're going to see long-term ramifications from just wearing the mask. And the sad thing is people were so willing, you know. I'm still kind of pissed off at a lot of people who should have done the right thing, including our government. Not one single government, well, I couldn't say not one single government did the right thing. Probably one single government did do the right thing. I'm just not aware of who it was. You know, there was some that attempted to do the right thing. I think Norway, Switzerland, I don't know. There's some out there. But good grief, man. We put so many people, so many lives in jeopardy by messing with this environment right here, you know, right in front of your eyes, so to speak. By changing the whole environment there. I'm not looking forward to what I'm going to be seeing in the next few years as far as dental decay and periodontal disease and oral cancers. I think it's terrifying in some ways. Back to my point. My point is you dumb down people enough and they are going to vote for their own demise. Hell yeah, let's get rid of that fossil fuel. We don't need it. Yeah, the polar bears, their ice sheets are melting and they have to swim hundreds of extra miles to kill a walrus. Let's get rid of that damn fossil fuel. Oh, my grandma's going to die this year because she's going to freeze to death or have a heat stroke? Oh, well. Oh, I'm going to die because I'm going to have a heat stroke or freeze to death because I can't heat my house because of blackouts and brownouts? There's no solar power because it's winter time and the wind's blowing, but only, you know, certain hours of the day and only a certain speed of wind will turn those turbines on, and those turbines only produce so much power and there's only so many of them. Yep. You grow them up stupid enough they will vote for their own death. They will march for their own death. Riot for their own death. In the name of the children. Because we want to make sure our children have a future. We want to make sure there's an environment left for our children. The same children they've been killing for decades. The same children that now they, you know, thank God. Some states are going back the other way. Like, yeah, we're not going to allow abortions after 6 weeks or a heartbeat or something. And some are still like, ah, you know, if you decide after 27 days that this whole parenting thing isn't for you, you can just like leave them in a closet or a bassinet or something. And if they die, we're not going to charge you with anything. We understand you weren't ready to have this baby in your life. And those are the people that you think care about your children enough that this whole agenda is for your children. Sorry, it's not. Not for your children, not for you, not for me. You know, I still 100% agree that we need to take care of our environment. I think you can do that responsibly and still have the resources that are unlimited on this earth. And believe me, I don't care. I believe that certain resources are unlimited on this earth. Water, for example, if you have water, if you live, I mean, most societies, most civilizations, I would say almost all successful civilizations are based upon where there is water. You know, and I watch every year, I watch the river across the street from my office fill up with water. And there's billions of gallons of water flying by at times. And I'm thinking of all that water that's going right down to the ocean and back out. We're not even using it. I'm not saying that we should use it all. I'm just saying, when people talk about water shortages, well, one, they're usually talking about water shortages where there's not water in the first place. It's being pumped in from somewhere. And then when that somewhere is short of water, like here in Oregon, where we send water to Northern California and from the Klamath River Basin, and maybe even from the Willamette River Basin here pretty soon. And that area is suffering because we don't have enough water to send them. Well, there wasn't enough water there in the first place, so it was probably not a good idea to figure that that was a good place to grow crops. Like, natural selection didn't work in that case. It should have failed. I need a drink. Hang on. Okay. Nope. All right. I think I'm ready. I may be ready to go on. Let's check out the notes here. I know there's probably people who are, I know that, you know, one of the big stories right now is Will Smith smacked Chris Rock on whatever award show that is. Okay, whatever. Not really that interested. Don't care if it was planned or not. I really don't care if it was planned or not. I think, It happened, you know. I think there was some inappropriate things said, and, you know, sometimes you got to pay the price for that. All right. So what else is on my agenda today? Oh, maybe you didn't see this story. Hopefully, you know, at least it's brought to your attention in one way or another. I think it's important. But 21 people were arrested in Utah in human trafficking operation. You know what else? So, okay, this is kind of a QAnon thing, right? Like, I heard, like, some prominent Democrat in some northeastern state was arrested on pedophile charges. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, all of this stuff that 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, that a lot of the QAnoners were talking about, I didn't kind of get even introduced. I kind of ignored QAnon until way late in the game. And then one of my friends from long ago kind of looked me up and said, hey, Doc, have you heard about this, that, and the other thing? And you need to get on Telegram and you need to follow, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I started listening to it. And I'll be honest with you, I was like, sounds like a bunch of crackpots to me. Like some of their stuff, man, is out there. I mean, some of it's really out there. And I guess one of the things for me was I got tired of waiting when they would say, yeah, there's going to be massive arrests. This, you know, breaking news, massive arrests coming Monday morning. Massive arrests coming. Okay, it's been put off. It's going to happen Thursday. Oh, there's information that's going to be, there's going to be a massive arrest on Saturday. All these pedophiles are going to be taken down out of the government. And it never would happen. It would never happen. Now, there was some things that really blew me away. I even did a show one time on how many missing people there were, missing children in Tennessee, for crying out loud. As just one state example. You know, every state has like tens to hundreds of missing kids. Every state. Where are they going? They're not all runaways. I know they're not all runaways. But they're somewhere, or not, but they were taken by someone, or not, but more than likely, they were taken by someone. Oh my goodness. But anyway, so 2.5 years ago, 2 years ago, you know, talking about, you know, the election being stolen, talking about, you know, tampering with the election and how things didn't add up. And, you know, you were a crackpot and you were canceled and you couldn't say that on some of the social media sites. And people started getting canceled, having their account shut down just for asking the question that maybe something like interference with an election was actually going on. It doesn't matter if it was one side or the other or both. If they're interfering with the election, they're interfering with the election. It should be information that you talk about, but no. It's no longer, you know, a society where you freely speak your mind. In some places, and it just so happened that those places were running all of the information at the time. And I'm not so sure that they're still not. I mean, I see so many people glued to their phones, and they're on Facebook, and they're on Instagram, and they're on Twitter. And that's where they get their news. They don't get a chance to, they don't take the opportunity to learn anything new and different. They get one side of information, and I really believe that, you know, the election that's coming this year, everybody thinks, you know, that so many people are so pissed off at Biden, which they have every right to be. He's destroyed the economy in this country, or at least he was president when it was destroyed. Hey, if you're the president, guess what? Buck stops there. Stop trying to blame it on anybody else. Do something. If it's within your power to do something, then do something. Otherwise, shut up. I don't want to hear your excuses about this, that, and the other thing, why you can't get it done. He had enough to do with it, for sure. Right out of the gate, shut down the pipelines. Right out of the gate, put more restrictions on drilling crude oil, you know, so that it made it difficult for people to know whether they were going to fire up their pumps and start pumping crude or not, knowing that once they spend all that money to fire them up, they could be shut down next week. And then they have to go through the whole process of firing up again. And a lot of them, I've heard them on different interviews saying, man, we're not going to get this equipment all you know, up to par and start pumping tomorrow because right now there's a crisis and, you know, there's so much red tape to jump through to get it up and going that they weren't willing to do it until they knew that they were going to be able to market their goods for a long time. And right now that's just not the way it is. Can you believe this happened in 1 year and 3 months so far? Things were better a few years ago. They were. So, I don't know. Pretty crazy that we've gone so far in such a short time. And now it's desperate. And that's the reason why we did this whole garden project. Because, you know, it's not looking good. The future's not looking good. The future's not looking secure. I don't know if you can hear this printer behind me printing. Somebody apparently needed something printing because I didn't do it. But anyway, you know, home studio, it's fun. Always fun. Something's going on outside. You know, you might hear it, you might not. As long as nobody's getting killed, I think we're okay. Drink time. Oh my goodness. Let's see, what's going on in the world that's worth talking about? Oh yeah, but what kind of one of the things I was talking about is all of the stuff that's been kind of completely turned around. There's an article on Epoch Times or Epoch Times, depending on how you want to say it. It said CDC removes 24% of child COVID deaths and thousands of others. You know, a year ago, year and a half ago, 2 years ago, shortly after the 15 days to flatten the curve, we were talking, many people on the internet were talking about, well, how many people are actually dying, you know, and then that lie was told. And then we were like, hey, how come nobody's dying of the flu this year? You know, because that was, flu totally disappeared, but it's making a big comeback now because, you know, it's election year and we got to change the narrative, kind of make this whole picture right. But the CDC actually came out and said 1/4 of the deaths that they attributed to COVID wasn't COVID. But you say that 2 years ago, you get canceled. That was a lie 2 years ago. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Google, all censored you for saying, you know, that this wasn't a dangerous virus. Which is just common sense. It's just the facts. Everybody's so afraid of hearing one little truth that's going to send somebody into the wrong direction, that's going to make somebody lose their flipping mind and, you know, have like unhealthy practice of life and get COVID and die. And they don't want that responsibility getting out there, so they want everybody to believe the lie that it's so deadly that if you leave your house, if you go shopping, if you don't wear a mask while you're going through the drive-through window at Starbucks, you're going to kill an entire village. But that's what they wanted you to believe. Back to my point. You make people stupid enough, they will work for their own demise. They will promote their own demise, as we've seen in this last 2 years. I think we're running up on an hour. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Catch me every Wednesday and Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on reallibertymedia.com. And you can join the chat room over there. I really appreciate you guys joining me and listening on podcasts. Please, you know,